Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is, This Will Be Our Year by the Zombies. American rock band, 1968, getting the year off to an optimistic start.
Is it cold up there?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the temperature, but I did go to the coffee shop this morning. I would say it's probably about 10 degrees. It's pretty cold. It's 10 degrees and there's no snow because it got warmed up and all the snow melted. I would trade 5 degrees for 5 inches of snow. I would make that trade.
You would like the snow?
I would like the snow, and I would rather have 25 degrees and snowy than 15 degrees and not snowy.
Well, it seems like it's cold everywhere, so just a little bit colder there. There were a lot of pieces while we've been away. We've been away for a long time, but I'll get to the Jimmy Butler thing here in a moment. But let's just do a little bit of an update. Obviously, Grizzlies, Mavs tonight. Let's do an update on the health a lack of health of the Memphis Grizzlies. So start with Ja. He is out tonight. AC joint sprain. How are we feeling about Ja's injury, and when's he coming back?
Oh, I think much like the hip thing earlier, the prognosis was better, was towards the better case scenario, which was good. I mean, that could have been, both of those injuries could have been really bad. Those are the kind of injuries that if you get the worst version of them, you have surgery. And in Ja's case, they were both milder, on the milder end of things. So it was a grade one. And so I think they're calling him week to week. And it sounds like another sort of bullet dodged on that one. So I would feel good about that relative to what it could have been.
It was week to week when they diagnosed him. Weeks have passed, or at least a week, I think, or something. Do we have any sense?
Hasn't been that
one.
Much.
Yeah, 1 week.
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be great if he were back in time for the MLK game, but I don't have anything. I don't know anything more than what the team has put out there. They have not only have they put out the week to week designation. Taylor Jenkins, I think, has spoken fairly optimistically about it. Ja has been seen, like, you know, without a sling and doing stuff on the floor. I think signs are pointing very positive on that, but I have no sense that, like, he's going to be back in 2 days or anything. Yeah. I'm assuming it'll be another week at least, but I don't know.
Okay, the prodigal injured, Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. Those guys.
Yeah, they're inching towards return. I should have brushed up on this before the show. I think that they're both expected to play this month, right? Again, and it may not be in the next day or two. It could be a situation where we look up in 2 weeks and there's like a flood of returns, right? It seems like it's all headed towards that kind of situation.
Santi, Luke, and then Marcus Smart. Like, what's it like? It is interesting with Ja's absence. There's sort of a ball handling issue, and Marcus Smart's absence doesn't help.
Yeah, the Luke thing is new. I mean, that is sort of a recent thing since all those other injuries, and they haven't really put out anything on that. There's been no like injury update on that. It's just showed up on the injured list. The Santi thing, the sprained ankle, a week-to-week sprained ankle, again, like, it, you know, could be any second. It could be a couple weeks. The Marcus Smart thing seems like maybe, of all the ones we're talking about, maybe that's the one that will linger the most. It's some like complicated. They've gotten really specific on their injury reports, and now people are complaining about the specificity where people used to complain about the lack of specificity. but like it's some like hood on the finger or something. My understanding is that it's a significant injury, but it's not as significant as the different finger injury he had last season, which ended up ending his season.
And then we got Desmond Bane doubtful tonight as well with an ankle sprain. So this is pretty dire, really.
It's a thing where at one point a week or so ago, there was this like factoid that was bopping around on social media about the Grizzlies are once again leading the league in games missed by injury. And like, I assume that's probably true. I didn't bother to double check it, but it wasn't like effectively true the way it was last season. Like if you actually look around the league and you're honest about it, like what teams are most impacted by injuries, it wasn't the Memphis Grizzlies. Because what had happened was they had had, like, yeah, two or three guys on the injured list pretty much every game, but all 15 guys could play, and they usually had at least two of their three stars and enough other players to have, like, a totally normal rotation. It's really been these last two or three games where that's changed, where they still had their two of their three stars for the most part, maybe not tonight, but with Bane and Jackson, but the injuries have been such that they have been forced into some uncomfortable lineups and rotations that have impacted their play in a way that I don't think was true earlier in the season.
I mean, you had Cam Spencer closing it out against the Warriors the other night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the injuries have actually impacted the way they're able to play these last few games in a way that I don't think was as true earlier in the season.
All right, so what do you make of where they are then, given all of that?
I think that if you combine the injury situation with the schedule, to me, the last few games are totally normal. Like, all the outcomes are normal. Like, you have Ja Morant and lots of other guys out, and you go on a road trip, you get blown out in Oklahoma City, and then you're at Phoenix, at Sacramento, at Golden State on the second night of a back-to-back on the fifth game of a West Coast road trip.
Right.
All three of those games are single-digit games in the fourth quarter. You win one, you lose two. It's all just totally normal stuff. I don't take much out of it, but to me, that's sort of the point, is that I was hoping to take something out of this. Like I was hoping a more full-strength Grizzlies would get this tougher part of the schedule, and you would really learn a little bit more about what the team really is. And I think the injuries, A, have cost them probably a win or two, but what they've really done also is like they've detracted from the value of this stretch of the season in terms of really learning about the team.
And that's not just true for the fans. It's true, presumably, for the front office as well, right?
100%, yes. And so, I mean, the Grizzlies have built up this great schedule. They've done it in this great record against a relatively easy schedule. When you really dug into it, their schedule, their record against good teams in the West was not very good. Now here's a long stretch. We're playing good teams in the West. Let's learn more. But it's hard to take too much out of it when the injuries hit the way they did, you know? Hopefully that'll change over the course of this. They'll start getting some guys back. Is that they're home for these two games, Dallas-Houston, and then you're back out Minnesota, Houston, San Antonio, back against Minnesota. Like, it doesn't let up anytime soon. Hopefully the injury situation will get better over the course of this.
Yeah. It's interesting, because before the season began, literally, you said it hinges on health, and that is a source of vulnerability. Like, it's not every team hinges on health, but for the Grizzlies in particular, that it's been an issue for their best, two of their best three players, and has continued to be. Jeffrey was, we were talking earlier in the previous hour about whether we feel better sort of about where the Grizzlies are, where the Memphis Tiger basketball team is. And Jeffrey sort of said, this injury is like, it gets in the way of feeling too optimistic about them. I guess the stat that Mark Giannotto tweeted out was, Jeffrey, what is it? Since
the Denver incident, Ja has not played more than five consecutive games for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's also...
I feel like that's another one of these factoids that has a little bit of a thumb on the scale. I mean, this season, to me, it's meaningful this season he hasn't played five consecutive games, because it is five different absences. It's that you get the sense of, like, the frequency of the getting banged up. Last season, it's because he was suspended for 20 games and he had a season-ending shoulder injury.
Right.
It's a different kind of situation. So I don't really care.
He was gone all year, basically, last year, except for the one stretch when he wasn't gone.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
To me, that's extra mustard that's not needed on the hot dog, like to get the taste, you know? I think what we've seen this season is the frequency of you can't go five games without taking a hit and it having some impact to him. And I think that alone tells you plenty without having to add
right.
the previous season onto it.
In the context of a season where he is, in fact, being more careful in the way that he approaches the game.
He's right.
said himself, and yet it still resulted in what has resulted. Weirdly enough, though, the injuries also are sources of optimism in that, hey, if they ever get these guys together and healthy, who knows what they could be, you know? And I still...
None of them are they've had a lot of injuries, but they haven't had bad injuries.
Right.
Like, there's no Ja Morant has torn his labrum, he's out for the season. There's no Steven Adams has wrecked his knees, out for the season. Brandon Clark has torn his Achilles, he's out for the season. Marcus Smart has torn some ligament in his finger, he's out for the season. None of that, right? These are all, like, day-to-day, week-to-week. And, like, the hope, you can't guarantee it, but the hope is that this confluence is sort of a random confluence and you get through it. And not that you're going to be fully healthy 1 through 15 the rest of the way in the next 2 weeks, but, like, you don't have that kind of confluence again, you know?
All right, so in the midst of it, the Grizzlies have to figure out not just assemble how to assemble their roster on a game-to-game basis, but what to do in terms of moving forward towards the playoffs, et cetera. It's been a long time since we've been on the air, and since we've been on the air, the Lakers acquired Dorian Finney-Smith, and we heard from multiple reports that the Grizzlies were in on that as well. You wrote a piece about it at the time, and I think one of the takeaways...
They were. All the stuff that came out was true. They offered Luke Kennard and John Conchar and a protected first, but they wanted Brooklyn second back, and so when you really get into the weeds of that, you can see why Brooklyn did the Laker deal.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that it wasn't just their protected number one they were giving up. They wanted their number two back. You wondered if that is the... Anyway, what were the Grizzlies trying to accomplish there, and what does that tell you about what the Grizzlies think they need or what the pieces are that they have available?
I think they were trying to consolidate with the notion towards the playoffs, right? They've been playing a deep roster, a deep rotation, and using their whole roster. Once you get into the playoffs, that is going to tighten up to some degree. It may not tighten up to 7 or 8. Maybe it tightens up to 9. But it's going to tighten up. And so they were looking to, like, you know, trade two players for one better one, which is the kind of consolidation that sort of pushes talent upward on your roster. And also add someone who's got real playoff, a track record of playoff success. Dorian Finney-Smith has played major minutes. Like, one of the things I pointed out is, you go back and look at his playoff track record, for multiple coaches, he was averaging 35 minutes a game in playoff games. That tells you that coaches trusted him in playoff games. And so he played big minutes in the playoffs. He shot well in the playoffs. He's also a guy who can, like, play both ends of the floor. He's a three-point shooter who can defend sort of multiple positions. And if you have those three players, you can pick one through your playoff line, you're going to pick more Dorian Finney-Smith. And so I don't think it was a move the Grizzlies tried to make out of some specific, like, positional need or some desperate situation. It was an opportunity to upgrade a potential playoff rotation, and they tried to do so.
Okay, so who else out there is like? We know they wanted Dorian Finney-Smith. Who's available? Who's right. like Dorian Finney-Smith? And
I don't know that there's anything out there. I don't. I wrote a column about potential trade stuff 3 weeks ago. I highlighted four players. One of them was Dorian Finney-Smith. The trade I suggested was the trade they tried to make, the exact trade. And when I wrote that column, that was the one that seemed like the most obvious thing to me. Like, that's the most obvious trade that to be made. The other three players I mentioned, two of them, there's no reporting they're even available. That's Derrick Jones Jr. and Herb of the Clippers and Herb Jones of New Orleans, who are similar kind of players. There's no reporting that those teams are trying to trade those players. And the other one is, and maybe this one's the most likely, is Cam Johnson, also of Brooklyn. But the Grizzlies just, like, failed to get a deal done with Brooklyn in a situation where somebody leaked it. I don't know. I'm not saying Brooklyn leaked it. It could have been an agent for one of the players or somebody else. But, like, it got leaked out in a way that I don't think the Grizzlies appreciated. And then you look at the kind of things Brooklyn was looking for in the Dorian Finney-Smith trade. They're probably looking for the same kind of things in this trade if they trade Cam Johnson. which is expiring contracts and picks, and the Grizzlies don't have the expiring contracts to match up with a Cameron Johnson salary.
Yeah, the difference with the Lakers is the Lakers could send D'Angelo Russell in as expiring, whereas the Grizzlies, you know,
right.
Conchar, you know, on two more years for Conchar, I believe, right. for example.
The other thing we learned about that trade is that Brooklyn is not that interested in 2025 picks, because they already have, like, four first-round picks right. in 2025. So looking for picks further out, I think the Grizzlies are going to be more reluctant to trade picks further out.
I was reading ESPN today, and I didn't – this was just in passing. Brian Windhorst was talking about Cam Johnson, and he talked about – he said – he mentioned the Grizzlies, but then he said – there were hard feelings emanating for both the Grizzlies and the Nets from how that played out about the Dorian Finney-Smith.
I don't know that that is true, but I can certainly context clues would tell you that might be true.
Hard feeling it would be about the leak, particularly about the leak, particularly. The I
leak,
would imagine.
Like it seems like there's two schools of thought on that getting out. One school, and I don't know which one is accurate, but one is that. The Nets put this out because they were trying to create leverage to get a better deal from someone else. The other school of thought was the deal was close to complete, and someone, and this is where I think maybe it's more of an agent than a team, you know, if the deal's close enough to completion, maybe the agents for the players who are involved find out about it because the guys are about to get traded, right? And maybe at that point they think the deal's almost done, and then it gets out, but the deal's not really done, and there's other stuff involved. I don't know how that all happened. But clearly it wasn't like, you know, the Grizzlies don't want, like, all their business being out on the street like that.
Right. They don't – you don't particularly need Luke Kennard, for example, to know that he was, right. you know, he was about to be dealt. He was – the Grizzlies were offering him up, even though that is part of the gig. You did you were browbeaten or something into writing about Jimmy Butler seriously as a trade. In the trade column you wrote several weeks ago, you mentioned Jimmy Butler, but then you took it up wholeheartedly yesterday, examining what the Jimmy Butler trade to the Grizzlies would look like. What occasioned you to actually revisit that and take it up again?
Well, there was just an eruption of Jimmy Butler Grizzlies chatter over the weekend to the point that not only is just random like fans on Twitter talk about it, suddenly like Sam Vecenie's writing a column about it, about how that's the best place for Jimmy Butler to go. And Bill Simmons is taking to the trade machine and putting out, this is the trade to send Jimmy Butler to the Grizzlies. And there was just an eruption of chatter. And the thing about it is, and I am not above like just making up trades and talking about it. I think that's fun.
Right.
But I want to be clear that that's what it is. And that is what all this stuff is. There is no, if you drill into all this chatter over the weekend, there is no source for it that is connected to anything real. It is basically the source is like gambling crap. It's like there was some odds changed on some gambling website that made the Grizzlies, that upped the odds of the Grizzlies getting Jimmy Butler. And it's funny to me, we've lost our faith in all institutions except for like the wisdom of quote unquote Vegas. And so there's like guys who like sports on the internet who would just assume, the wise men in Vegas have some special information about this, which they don't. And so it all comes out of nothing, literally nothing. Like, there is no – I'm not saying the Grizzlies are not interested in Jimmy Butler, but there is no basis for assuming that they are. There is no – it comes out of nothing.
Okay. But because there was this flurry of chatter about it, you took up the point or took up the question. How would it work if the Grizzlies were to acquire Jimmy Butler? And by the way, the Grizzlies were not on Jimmy Butler's list from way back when of preferred destinations. How would it functionally work in a deal?
Well, I mean, you can't say for certain how it would work because you're not among the teams. You know what they're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
But I mean, the starting point is that both teams are above the salary cap. You have to match contracts within a certain range. So any deal starts with the deal. Like, what is the deal? And so for Jimmy Butler, whose salary this season is over $48 million, like, you got to get a lot of contracts together to make something work. So just starting there, setting aside what Miami wants, you just have to match salary. And for the Grizzlies, like, in theory, you could put Desmond Bane in a deal, but which some people suggested, but that would never, ever happen. And so really, any Grizzlies offer, if there were one, it was going to start with Marcus Smart at $20 million and Luke Kennard at $9 million. That's $29 million. That's not enough, but that's a starting point. Even if you add John Conchar to that, which is another $6 million, it is still not enough salary. And so at that point, you can head in different directions to make something that would work. The easiest one, money-wise, is Brandon Clarke added to it. You can construct deals without Brandon Clarke at that point, but that has the Grizzlies taking back even more salary. And I think once you work through the different permutations and the different angles, which I did in the column, the financial stuff is really the big thing.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Okay, so you put together this massive deal. Even then, the Grizzlies would be into the tax, right? I mean, presumably?
Well, any Jimmy Butler trade is likely to put the Grizzlies into the tax. There are ways potentially that it can be finessed to maneuver yourself just under the tax line. I don't think there's no direct Grizzlies Heat trade that I can see that accomplishes that. But there are scenarios where you can rope in a third team and you do some other stuff. And if you really work hard at it, you can find scenarios where you could add Jimmy Butler as stay under the tax line, I think. All right. So I don't want to be absolute about that, but you certainly put yourself in danger of going into the tax trying to make that trade.
Purely from a basketball perspective, how do you think it would work?
Oh, I think it could work. It could work well. To me, it's not a certain situation. To me, it's the kind of thing that reasonable people can really disagree about. Jimmy Butler is one of the great playoff players of his generation. Like, he's been the best player on two NBA Finals teams in the last 5 years. And those NBA Finals teams were the 8th and the 5th seed in the conference at the start of the playoffs. And he was on another team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. He has been a major, major playoff player. He's also essentially a small forward, which is, you know, I mean, Jalen Wells has been really good, but if you're going to, like, add a new Grizzly starter, that's where you're going to add it, right? And so he would fit positionally between a John Morant, Desmond Bane backcourt, and then Jaren Jackson and Zach Edey in the front court. And so in terms of talent, in terms of positional fit, in terms of, like, how you fit in the flow of the team, that's a little more questionable. I think the way they do their offense with all the cutting and the ball sharing, like, I think he actually probably fits pretty well there. The problem would be sort of pecking order, chemistry, shooting. Like, you get, among other things, you get down to the last 5 minutes of a close game, like, who's going to have the ball? Like, Jimmy Butler's used to having the ball. And John Morant's used to having the ball. And so is that going to work, right? And then you get into the other chemistry questions beyond just basketball fit, because Jimmy Butler is obviously, he's been a great player. He's also been hell to get along with at multiple stops. And that's a real concern. And I don't know if you can have certainty about that in terms of how he fits culturally and into a locker room. There's a lot of issues there. But to say that it just flat out wouldn't work, I think is saying too much, because it might work.
And then in terms, if you did it, would it be for this year or this year and into this? Well, this is wildly theoretical. Maybe, yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
It's entirely theoretical. Yes. And in fact, it may well be that the Grizzlies have no interest whatsoever in this.
It could be preposterous, right? Exactly, right? Yeah.
Right. The two big problems, like the Jimmy Butler $48 million this year and the tax this year is a problem. The two big issues are, does he fit? Like, are you going to help your team or, like, mess up? Are you going to elevate a good thing or mess up a good thing?
Yeah.
Right? That's the real risk reward. But then the bigger thing, the biggest thing, or along with that, it's not just he has $48 million this year. He has a player option for $52.5 million next season. And to me, that is the enormous hurdle to anything. Even if they were interested, that's a real, real issue. Like, how you navigate that. Is he willing to? Some people suggested maybe he would decline that option now in order to make a trade easier. I'm real skeptical of him declining a $52 million option next season just so he can get traded out of Miami.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece on Jimmy Butler over there at the Daily Memphian. If in the new year you're thinking of upgrading your home, and a lot of people are, you're thinking of upgrading your home. Well, most of us, honestly, we can't afford to just go out there and buy another home while we own our home. And so we got to sell our home first. And there can be some pressure there. James was working with Josh Hysaw on this. Found his dream home, but he needed to sell that one he was living in first. So he gets together with Josh, puts his house on the market. 3 days later, sold his home for a great price. Now, I'm not going to say guaranteeing it's going to happen in 3 days, but that's the kind of thing that can happen when Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty and their creative, powerful marketing strategy goes to work for you. It is Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Flexible freeze, no upfront cost, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. Josh Hysaw and a team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, we got a wild day in the NFL and more. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football is hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Big day in the NFL yesterday. Okay, not necessarily for, like, the games and stuff.
It was a big day for incentives.
But it was a big day for incentives, and now we got changes, too. Let's see. We got Gerard Mayo fired by the Pats. That felt like that deal was done, didn't it? Like, yesterday you had the Bills losing to the Pats, which cost the Pats the number one draft pick. They will now be drafting fourth, and that sent my friends who are Pats fans into a depression. Their depression was shortly lifted because Gerard Mayo was fired immediately afterward. And then subsequently, Doug Peterson fired by Jacksonville. And then we also had the news that there would not be changes in the Giants are bringing back both
Shane
and Vrabel, the GM.
Dable.
I'm Dable. And the head coach, Vrabel Dable. The Colts are bringing back Ballard,
yep,
and both,
and
right?
Steichen.
And Steichen. The Dolphins are not going to be making a change either, although they may need to find a new wide receiver. We'll see how that plays out. The Browns and the Bengals, the Browns fired their OC, the Bengals fired their DC.
Yep.
Like, if you're not going to be making the coaching change, you've got to fire someone. You got to throw someone overboard,
yep,
right? And so we are still waiting on the Raiders, and we're still waiting on the Cowboys.
I believe those would be the case. I suppose if you wanted to say the way that the Steelers have ended is if they go and they get embarrassed in a playoff game, do they look for like an exit fee for, you know, Tomlin to go somewhere where he's appreciated, whatnot? Like, you could talk.
Have you heard that? Really?
There's been rumblings, but I think it's unlikely, but they also haven't played the playoff game yet.
I would find that to be astonishing. They got to play the Ravens, obviously.
Yep.
In the playoff game. And so we have the following jobs that are open, Jeffrey, and the Chicago Bears open.
Yep.
The Jets open.
Yep.
The Jacksonville Jaguars open. The Pats open. And the Saints open. Leaving aside the Cowboys and the Raiders, because
yep,
we don't know yet, rank the openings.
All right.
Well, let's start from the last one.
Yeah, honestly, let's get the ones out of the way. Like, the Saints feels like just a no-win spot. You've got no quarterback. You're in cap hell. Like, to me, like, the Saints, I'm putting it pretty low.
Saints is the worst job.
Yeah. Then I'm probably putting the Jets.
Got to say the Jets. Who's quarterback for the Jets next year?
I have no idea.
Sam
Darnold?
Aaron Rodgers does what, you know, he goes out on a high.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns, including his 500th.
That was my wife's big take. She goes, oh, that's so perfect.
It's so
like,
perfect.
Him going out and then that way, you know.
But, like, it's very possible that the quarterback that they have next year will not be as good as Aaron Rodgers. Certainly has been the second half of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So who the hell are the Jets going to have as a quarterback? Now, they got talent on that team, although you've said it's overrated. But they have they do have some talent on that team. So I got no idea who their quarterback's going to be. So I think, because it's a quarterback league, you got
a dysfunctional franchise too.
Okay, so then,
and don't forget, is our ambassador going back to
Woody?
The UK?
Woody, by the way, did make an announcement. He did say that his 16-year-old son has nothing to do with running the team.
Said nothing about the 18-year-old though.
So then you've got three teams that ostensibly have quarterbacks in place: the Bears,
yep,
the Jaguars,
yep,
and the Pats.
Yes.
And is your order of ranking, about, like, which of those quarterbacks do you think is best? Rank those quarterbacks.
Okay.
Who do you want right now? If you could pick one of them, put them on the Giants. Do you want Caleb Williams?
I think
Drake May?
I think I want Caleb. I still think
So you think
if you put Drake on the Bears, I think Drake has the same season. I think honestly, if you put Jaden Daniels on the Bears, I think the problem
Drake had no talent around him at all.
Yeah, and I mean he had
Caleb Williams had more talent around him.
Drake also had some flaws. Like Drake,
being overrated.
I will say this. I came into the year.
Let's be honest. Joe Milton came in yesterday and looked spectacular.
I mean, just lighting it up.
So,
shout out to the Bills on that one. The flaws that I see in Drake May, he still has. Like, I still don't love, like, when the game's on script. But I have been more impressed with him this year than I expected to, particularly given the situation.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Even if you think that Caleb Williams is more promising than Drake May, which you seem to think.
Yes.
Right? You have an owner who has won in New England versus an owners who have not lately won in Chicago.
Correct.
And let's be honest, you've got a much, like the division in Chicago is stiff right now, whereas over the AFC East, you got the Bills, will be the Bills for a while, but I think it's a softer division too. I think you got to say, maybe it's overestimating this, but I think the Pats are the best job.
I'm listening to an argument for the Jaguars. This would be my argument for the Jaguars. I think Shad Khan has picked the wrong people, but I actually think in terms of style of owner, I do think the pieces are there. Like, he largely trusts you. Like, he gives you money. He largely trusts you to do what you want to do. It really comes down to a matter of what do you think of Trevor?
And what do you think of Trevor?
I think if Trevor got Harbaugh'd, much like we saw with Herbert this year,
right,
where it's, hey, we're not going to ask you to be the offense. We're going to put things around you. You're immensely talented. We're going to turn you into a play-action shot guy, and we're going to give you a chance
to win.
But
you're
going to
have less around him because he already is making the big money, and so you less.
But I mean, Herbert was on the big money too.
No, I know, but we're comparing it to the Chicago job and the New England job where you got quarterbacks on rookie deals.
Correct.
I think you're right, though. All three are good jobs.
I think also the Jaguars have I don't think the Jaguars were nearly as bad as it, like, devolved into this year.
I think that's fair. I think all three are good jobs. And I'll be honest, I don't think that just because an organization has always been bad, it will always be bad. Now, I make some exceptions. If you are Mike Brown and the Bengals and you're just congenitally cheap,
yes,
and will never spend,
correct,
and so you're going to lose your best players, or you're going to wait too long to give them deals and therefore overpay. I think that is,
and then you cost yourself other players,
right? And that is debilitating for a franchise,
Bates,
right?
Bates not being there,
but I don't think that's what the McCaskies are, honestly. Now, it would bother me a little bit, sort of the stuff going on between who really is running the show there.
Right.
Is it the GM or is it Kevin Warren? That stuff would bother me a little bit, but. I don't think that just because they've been a dysfunctional franchise and organization, they always have to be. I don't think I believe that necessarily the Bears. I like all three of those jobs. And then I think the Jets job, I can imagine it working out, but they got to find a quarterback. And then the Saints is just death.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, is there a result that could happen this week that changes the Vikings' thinking? Like, last night was a bad night for Sam Darnold, but does anyone really believe, like, is that...
No, so the narrative...
They went 14-3.
Yeah, the narrative has been, at first it was, okay, well, Sam Darnold's being good here, and who knows, but this is good, because in the end, they got the quarterback of the future they drafted last year, so this is just a one-year thing for him.
Right.
But as they continued to win and win and win and win, and as he looked better and better, you're like, no, they got to keep him.
Right.
They got to keep him. And so did the fact that he looked as, let's be honest, as bad as
yes.
he did last night, does that change anything? No. In terms of his availability, I don't think I think he will be the Vikings quarterback next year.
So then the question becomes, is it a franchise tag? Is it, like, so, but I'm with you. I think.
It could be a reduced contract.
There's also this other issue with JJ in that he had a setback in his knee injury. Like, we don't know.
You can have JJ and bring him along.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can have him be a backup. Like, whatever. I don't think the Vikings thing is particularly.
To me, it seems like the best way forward is trying to figure out how to bring back Sam Darnold next year and then continue to bring JJ along. So now we're into this position of, okay, is Derek Carr the Jets quarterback? Like, it seems like Carr is leaving. Does that make you, like, who is, like, the bridge-type quarterback?
Does not inspire confidence.
I mean, no.
Okay, so there you go. We'll see if the Cowboys come up, and we'll see if the Raiders come up, and those are the other two. The draft order, also, the top of the draft, also settled. You got, how do you feel about your Giants being three? So you've got the Titans one, Cleveland two, the Giants three, the Pats fall to four, then the Jags. Another nice thing, by the way, the Jags, they don't have to, they don't have to pick a quarterback, so they can just sit there and they can take, you know, the best pass rusher available or, you know, whatever. Then the Raiders, then the Jets, then the Panthers. Who would have imagined the way this season started that the Panthers would be picking eighth? Nice little comeback for the Panthers. Like, they put together a second half of the year that created hope for them going forward. They're picking eighth, Saints ninth, Bears 10th. I would ask you this. Who right now do you think will learn more? Who do you think, what should the Titans do? That feels, by the way, speaking of hopeless franchises, that feels like one right now, doesn't it? What do they got?
I think they went 2-15 against the spread, by the way.
Awful.
Well, and then also it's like, hey, man, like, yeah, you were upset with Vrabel. How do you like me now?
How do you like me now? Vrabel at least made him competitive.
Yes. Now, I mean, Vrabel's got his challenges. Like, Malik Willis looked absolutely god-awful under him, and you get Malik with LaFleur.
What do you do? Do you really take one of
I think you have to. What is your other option?
You take Shedeur Sanders?
You cannot play Will Levis. Like, the Will Levis thing, you put stuff around him, you gave him a chance to win the job, and he did
not. Okay, so if you're the Titans, what you do is you spent the next however many months
and you determine studying
these two quarterback, and you take the best quarterback.
Correct.
The end.
Yes.
Okay. So then you're Cleveland.
I'm taking the next best quarterback. There's also, did you see the report today that Deshaun had complications from Achilles?
He redid his deal.
Which everyone kind of freaked out about that. Everyone was like, what are the Browns doing? I think that was Deshaun coming and saying, my only chance to play next year is this.
I didn't understand what they were actually accomplishing. They were just moving money
around. They pulled the Saints. You took out another credit card, another line of credit to pay off. But
do we really think Deshaun Watson's going to be their starting quarterback next year? My God, if so, Jimmy Haslam, I don't understand how you can credibly do that.
But I mean, are you really credibly going to have a $50 million player on the bench? Like
I don't care. Who cares?
I'm with you, but at the same time, it's like they clearly did because they kept playing
him. He
didn't
have to be on the bench. He could just stay at home.
Is Jameis a credible option for any of these
teams? No, Jameis is who he is in the end. Jameis is who he is. So, okay, so you think they just take the next quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, so where does that leave your beloved Giants?
I suppose taking the best player available, which I presume is going to be Travis.
Really?
I would
think. As a corner?
As everything.
And then who's their quarterback?
No idea. But, I mean, are you really going to take Carson Beck, who's going to need UCL surgery? Are you going to
My God, Milroe was horrific. Well, I literally saw today a piece, I think it was Dane Brugler's piece in the Athletic, saying that, it was about Drew Aller may enter the draft, right? He was actually in his mock draft. Penn State quarterback who said he's coming back.
Correct.
But the way he's playing, maybe he'll say, I got to go cash in. And,
no, thank you.
But what the sentence that threw me off was that he could bump Jalen Milroe as quarterback number three. Jalen Milroe was horrific.
Yes.
Against Michigan. Horrific. That would make me want to drive my car into a tree if my team spent a first round pick on Jalen Milroe.
It was funny that you mentioned that because oftentimes, I wonder during the broadcast, a lot of what gets said in the broadcast comes from the production meetings with the two coaches and the people that they make available. I think that Brock Osweiler really zoned in on, during that meeting, I think that there was a moment of, you know, Jalen's been great to us. We're going to be loyal to him. We're going to play him. But, you know, he missed a lot of throws. Because that whole broadcast, they just kept
about all of
he is missing this, missing this, missing this. Like, I don't know. Like, Osweiler's like, it's the same play over and over again. He keeps missing it, keeps missing it. I think that did him no favors. Now, I granted was never high on him to begin with, but I do not know how you can make him a first-round pick.
All right, so that's fascinating. We also have the wild card lineup.
Yep.
Here it is. So Saturday's games, Chargers-Houston.
Well, as is tradition.
And
get the Texans in the 3:30.
Chargers-Houston and Pittsburgh-Baltimore. What do you think of Saturday's slate?
I think I'm going to do it, Jeff. I'm gonna reach across the aisle to my Chargers fans in my group chat,
and you're gonna
say, "Let's go."
You're gonna put money on it.
I think I'm gonna bet on the Chargers. The Texans right now
is a mess.
Are gross.
They're gross. All right. Any chance? This is what I'm hoping for. Any chance Pittsburgh can knock off the Ravens?
I would say yes, with the idea of I'm not betting on it. But here would be the argument. Even in the game, was that Christmas Day? What day did we have the Steelers Ravens again?
Yeah, it was recent. It was during this break. Yeah.
If you look at that game, Russ is going in and about to make it a 14-7 game. He's got wide open field, doesn't see the defender, fumbles it, completely changes the game. But Pittsburgh's defense has given Lamar problems in that they have athleticism on the defensive line. And they've been able to hem him in and make him uncomfortable. And Lamar, for me, the last couple of weeks has not exactly been rounding into, oh, my God, I think differently. Like, he's been missing a lot of throws, and a lot of teams have been able to keep him in the pocket. If there's a way to do it, they have familiarity. They've already beaten him once this year. That could be a game where they have the athleticism to pin him in, and Baltimore's defense is able to give up points on anybody if you can throw the football well. And let's say Russ and Pickens figure out whatever disastrous situation they found themselves in. Yet again, shocker with Pickens.
Pickens. Right.
But yes, there's. I don't think that one is insane.
All right. Sunday, Denver, Buffalo, Green Bay, Philly, Washington, Tampa Bay. How do you feel about that slate?
So I'm way more excited about Sunday. I'm very sad that I did not bet the Bills last night. It's already up to 9. I think that's going to be...
What did it open?
7.5.
Huh.
I think that's going to be a reckoning.
One hopes.
Yes. Now, and if you're the Broncos, though, this is gravy.
A total gravy.
Like, you've gotten to see...
Let's be honest. They also have... They got real players on defense.
Yeah.
And they've had a wildly successful year. You would hope, I would, as a Bills fan, that with a rookie quarterback going into Buffalo, that does not bode well for them.
Jeff, we also can't discount the fact that Josh got some quality rep yesterday.
He did get a rep in. What I didn't understand about that, by the way, I totally understood Josh playing the one snap to keep his streak alive of whatever starts. I didn't really understand Drake May playing one series. Like, if you don't want to play Drake May because you don't want to get the one pick because you value your draft pick and so you want to keep him healthy, whatever else, going. I get that. If you want to play Drake May because he's a rookie and he needs all the reps he can and whatever else, I get that. I don't understand the symbolic one series for Drake May. Didn't understand that at all.
The only thing you could tell me is that was an ownership thing. Hey,
they were going for the number one pick,
yeah.
And so all you can do is pay him. They already knew they were going to fire Gerard Mayo.
Correct.
And so they said, you can only play him one series.
Yes.
And then Joe Milton screwed him by being awesome.
By playing awesome.
By playing awesome. So, So
Bucks-Commies is a fun game. I just don't like what I've been seeing out of the Packers.
No, they're bad. Like, Watson's hurt. That's not that help. That doesn't help.
But like now with Love, like Love's got an elbow issue, and
they're banged up.
And then I just honestly think right now,
I think three weeks ago would have looked better.
Yeah, and the Packers kind of we kind of treat the Packers the same way we treat the Ravens when they start to put like 3 or 4 wins together. We're like, oh, it's over.
But no one ever criticizes.
Right. We don't.
No one ever criticizes them when they fall short.
Every time they've played someone ahead of them in the standings, they've lost. And also, I just think the NFC is heading towards Lions, Eagles, because I think those are clearly the two
really
best teams.
Good teams.
Yes.
Yeah. Minnesota, the Rams. Minnesota
Fun
versus
game.
The Rams on Monday.
Fun game.
Shout out to the Rams for getting themselves in it.
Yeah, that was weird to me that they did not value the 3. But I guess the way that they've looked at it was they haven't had a bye week since week 6, I believe, is the number. And so they just wanted to have everybody off, and they didn't care about it. I do think that last night was this interesting deal of before the game even started, I could have told you this. They always set up the 4-5 game is going to be the Monday Night Football game because
right.
they can't. they can't have it affecting travel from the Sunday results. Like, so they know whoever wins this, they're shipping them. They're shipping them wherever. Like, they know where it's going. That kind of like sucks from the Vikings. Like, you play Sunday Night Football, then you've got Monday Night Football. Like, you do have a little bit of extra rest. But then if you win the game, like, you've turned right around. Like, that's also why I think it was so huge for the Lions, because they played Monday Night Football this week, then played on Sunday night. If they would have had to gone right back, like, that was going to take a toll on them. I think they, and Anzalone even said it after the game, like, we need a bye.
Other news that happened while we were away, we got portal stuff going on. It's Eli Herring and Squirrel White. Squirrel White from Tennessee, Eli Herring from Memphis, both headed to Florida State. See that? See our man Mike Norvell trying to stock up for the year to come.
If you're going to do it in the league, the ACC's one. But man, are we really saying it's going to Castanellis is going to be a quarterback?
Speaking, by the way, of conferences, we mentioned the SEC was 8-6 in bowl games.
Yeah,
the ACC 2-11 in bowl games.
Yeah,
but the AAC. Much kicked around, much beaten up.
I think they got some hardware coming their way.
6-2.
Yeah.
6-2. Memphis beat West Virginia. East Carolina beat NC State. Navy beat Oklahoma, among the various triumphs. So shout out to the AAC for what they accomplished while we were away. Jeffrey, what is coming up next? And is that guy, I vaguely remember, he used to do an afternoon show here. Gabe, is he going to be back?
Jeff, here is what's coming up next, because indeed Gabe will return today from paternity leave. Jason and John coming up next. Norton Hurd will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Munn's going to join us during the first hour. Gabe is back. Connor will be with him. David Cobb at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Fun to be back. Stay warm. We'll be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.